duty. Stay humble, stay low, blow like Hootie. True pimp, nigga, spend no dough on the booty. And you yell, there go Mace, there go your cutie.
Welcome back, listeners. This will be the second podcast from Riding the Pine Baseball. Glad to have you back. My name's Spidey. I'm here with the professor. Professor, how are you today?
I'm pretty good. You know, just finished up with classes, and yes, it's all good to go.
Good day of educating young minds.
Molding young minds is what.
Molding young minds.
Yes, yes, yes.
Gotcha. Well, how's that working out for you?
Pretty good so far. You know, I'm looking forward to spring break here in about a month or so.
Wasn't you just off for Christmas break?
I was. Yeah. That's the benefits of working for the educational system.
I guess so. So out of the 365 days of the year, how many would you say you work?
Less than that.
I gotcha. I can't say much. You know, I work 120 days a year.
Yeah, I'm probably a little bit over that, but, you know.
It's a good gig. You get the summers off. I don't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I get like 3 months in a row off.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, well, what are we going to do with those 3 months?
I'll probably record podcasts.
Yes.
That's crazy.
Yes, because the demand is growing.
I may visit Tim Raines, you know, well, see what he's doing.
We put him up, remember?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'll bring it back out whenever I want to.
Did you get your new jersey in yet?
Not yet, no.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking forward to it, though.
Yes. Well, today, listeners, we got a few things on the docket. It's kind of the dead time of the year for some MLB action, but we're getting close to catchers and pitchers reporting next month. So I think we're roughly 60 to 70 days away from our first opening day game. Mm-hmm. Pretty excited about that.
Yep.
So today we're going to talk a little bit about some MLB salary, some money info, some of the long-term contracts that have been out since some more have come about. Probably going to hit on the DH a little bit. It seemed to pop its head back up again in the baseball world. Yep. So we'll hit that, and then we got something else we're going to talk about a little bit today.
A little bit of a surprise.
Well, yeah, we kind of mentioned it last time.
Yeah, yeah.
And you followed up on.
Yes, sir. Yes,
since we've mentioned it, so we're going to dive into it a little bit.
Just a touch. Probably more than we're planning on right now.
Maybe. Could be. Yes. So how do you feel? You know, we talked about the Todd Frazier as being a terrible deal so far for the Reds.
Yeah.
So let's just take baseball in general. The off season.
Mm-hmm.
How you feel overall it's going? I mean, you surprised by anything?
Not really. I'm a little surprised that Chris Davis got the money that he got.
Mm-hmm.
We can go ahead and talk a little bit about that stuff now. I have a spreadsheet that I've made.
Is that right?
I do, yes. I have done some research on the top 25 richest contracts in Major League Baseball history.
Richest contracts.
Yes, yeah, yes. Biggest contracts.
Gotcha. Okay. This is history.
Yeah, yeah, a little bit. A little bit surprised that five of those contracts were signed this offseason.
Five of the 25 in history.
Five of the 25.
Were this offseason. Okay.
Yeah, and they were. Let me get my spectacles.
That's quite the spreadsheet you have there.
Well, thank you, sir. Miguel Cabrera signed one.
Mm-hmm. What? He's a good ball player.
He is a good ball player.
Yes.
David Price.
Mm-hmm.
Zach Greinke. Jason Hayward and Chris Davis makes the list.
And those were the five this offseason.
This offseason.
Yes.
Yes. Do you know who has the largest contract, not only in Major League Baseball history, but in the history of American sports?
Ooh. Is it A-Rod?
It is not.
Mm.
It is Giancarlo Stanton.
Oh.
Yes.
He's really good.
He is really good.
Yes.
He signed a 13-year deal last year.
Mm-hmm.
In 2015.
Yes.
For $325 million.
I do remember that now. I do remember.
Yeah. So.
13-year
deal.
Deal.
Yeah. Of those 25 contracts, they average in 8 years of length.
Okay.
The average money is $203 million for that contract.
Wow.
That's a pretty good chunk of change.
That is.
This one is a little surprising. The average age upon completion of the contract. You got a guess on what that may be?
Are we talking all time of the 25?
Of the
25. Talking of the 25.
Yeah.
We're talking the ending age of the contract.
Yeah. How old they were when the contract would be expiring.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this is the end of the deal. I'm thinking, I'm thinking at least mid 30s, 35.
36. Really close, yeah. Interestingly enough, most of them are between 35 and 36. There are only four players that will end those contracts under the age of 35.
Wow.
Yeah.
So four of the 25.
Yeah, and a couple over 40.
Whoa.
Yeah, and there's Manny Ramirez, his contract expired in 2008. He's on here. CC Sabathia, his was last year. His expired. Derek Jeter's expired. And A-Rod is on here twice.
Yes.
He owns, I'll say owns, he has signed the number two and number three largest contracts.
Wow.
Yes. Yeah.
So you're doing something pretty good if you're on the list twice.
Clearly. Clearly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which one of them came before the other one was set to expire.
Yes.
So it was it was an extension.
Do you have the length for the A-Rod contract?
10 years, both of them.
Both of them were 10?
Yeah.
And he renegotiated, basically re-upped that. Do you remember what part of the first 10 year?
2008 is when he signed the second one with the Yankees.
So 2018, he's done.
2017, after the 2017 season.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And what was that amount?
$275
million. Wow.
And the first one was $252 million.
Gotcha.
He'll be 42 when it's over.
42, and what's he making this year? 29 mil or something, probably.
Yeah, in the ballpark.
Area. Crazy.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
It's a lot of money.
It is.
Yeah, I did a little statistical analysis as well, because it's a well known fact. Well, it's a well believed fact that once you sign that big contract, then your production dips.
Yes.
And what I have found is that is 100% true.
True.
The average of all of these 25 players, okay. And now the ones that signed this year were left out.
Okay.
And also Tanaka for the Yankees was left out because he didn't have anything prior to base on. He came from Japan. Yeah. I didn't take those numbers.
Yeah.
So we're talking 19 players here.
Okay.
Well, 19 contracts, 18 players because A-Rod's
I'm with
twice.
You. I got you.
They dipped in every major statistical category.
Everyone.
Games played, batting average, home runs, RBIs, on-base percentage, slugging percentage, OPS.
Mm-hmm.
And for the pitchers, ERA, strikeouts, wins, and innings pitched. And the WAR statistic.
Ooh, we love the WAR statistic.
Throwing that out there.
Yeah.
Yep.
A-Rod, remember him? He, number 12, just to remind you on that.
Well, his the season, it would have been the 2000 season when he, the year before he signed his first big contract with the Rangers, he had a WAR of 10.4 for that season.
For that season
that
alone.
Season alone.
That's unheard of.
Yeah.
10
yeah.
for one season. So basically what that means, if we take that guy out of that lineup for that season, that ball team has essentially lost 10 more games.
Yes.
Essentially.
But here's the most interesting thing about that season, and I didn't dive into it enough to see why this was the case, but he played more games the year after. He hit more home runs. He batted for a higher average, had more RBIs, and a better slugging percentage, and his WAR was still 8.3
in
the previous year. He batted .318 with 52 home runs and 135 RBIs
Phew-y.
In 2001.
Things were good.
Things were good for him.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, and we all know why.
Oh, yeah.
But that's okay. Baseball was fun then.
It was.
It's evolved back to the pitcher's game now.
It has.
And so, well, that's going to lead us into another subject, so we don't want to go down that road yet.
No.
I don't know what you got on your spreadsheet there, but it looks like pretty much everything.
Yeah, a lot of
from across the table.
Yeah.
What is the oldest date? Do you have, how far back does that go?
The first contract the on this list that was signed?
Yeah.
That would be 2001 with A-Rod and Manny Ramirez signed also in 2001.
Okay, so the top
and
25.
Derek Jeter.
Obviously have been in this century.
Yeah.
Okay.
Most of them have been since 2010, actually, or 2011.
And, there's so much money in baseball. MLB in itself is a $9 billion per year industry. So $9 billion, there's a lot of money to go around.
Yep.
But what's funny is you've got these long-term contracts that you talk about and you've brought up, and they've all been, 2001 and up of the top 25 all time.
Yes.
What's happened in baseball, for me to sit here and me and you to talk about it, it's ridiculous how much money these guys are making.
It's a ton of money.
And I try not to really think about it sometimes because it takes some of the enjoyment of the game away from me.
Yes.
And we try to just be casual fans and talk baseball.
Yeah.
But then we have podcasts like this, and then I just like, you know.
Yeah.
The guy's getting paid this much money to play baseball. And then you look at the other side of it. It's a $9 billion a year industry.
Yes.
Well, the guys are the ones that's out there performing.
Correct.
They're who we pay to see.
Yes.
So here's the problem with that. They're not the ones getting filthy rich off of it.
Well,
they are
to a degree.
Yes. But what you have is millionaires versus billionaires.
Yes.
Is what it ends up being. You got the players versus the owners. So the salaries are less than 40% of the league revenue.
Wow, I didn't realize that.
All their salaries combined is 40% of the league revenue. And I think it's even acts like 38%. So that's a decline of 33% in the last 12 years alone.
Wow.
So it has definitely swung to the owner's advantage.
Mm-hmm.
Although the contracts might not make you think that on the front side, because you see the Chris Davis deal, all this other ones with these gigantic numbers stuck to them with years and years of service.
Chris Davis, by the way, 7 years, $161
million. And so the owners they've got the money to spend.
Yeah.
And it's all because of some of these lucrative TV deals they have, and which really irks me, is because there's so much money on these TV deals that the teams are making.
Mm-hmm.
So, but who it's hurting is the casual fan, because a lot of times what's going to happen is the team's getting all this money, and then there ends up being a dispute between the cable companies and all these networks, and the people still don't even get to see it because they're disputing it in, you know, blacked out areas and this or that. And
that blackout thing just frustrates me to no end.
Because, you know, we live, it takes us, if we want to go to the Reds game, we're going to load up. The absolute best time we can make is 2.5 hours.
Correct. Yeah.
So
and that's booking it.
That is. Yeah. So time you hit traffic and park, we're 3 hours in at least to get to the ball game.
Yep.
So we're going to sit there for 3 hours, and we're going to drive home for another 3 hours.
Yep.
So it's not feasible for us to drive to Cincinnati as much as we would like to watch some baseball.
Correct.
So then sometimes you go to turn it on, and then it's blacked out because it's not, you know, there's tickets available for the game, so we can't even watch it.
Yeah, we fall into that blackout area. So it's unfortunate.
It is. It's a little disturbing sometimes, but because baseball is making so much money off of it.
I think there's a misconception, too, that baseball's way down, that you know, it's fallen way behind football.
Uh-huh.
And if you look strictly at the numbers, it is. But you have to compare that over 162 game year as compared to a 17-week season.
Yes.
Okay, they play once a week. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody's concentrated that one time. If it was spread out as much as it is, if football was spread out as much as baseball was, as far as the season length, then those numbers would be a lot closer.
Yeah, it's hard to keep someone's attention for 162 games.
Especially when you're losing 100 games a year.
It is.
Or coming close to
it. It's really frustrating.
It is.
But, you know, baseball's doing good, apparently. $9 billion a year.
That's
life is good.
Yeah.
The average major league salary has went up a little bit. It's a little over $4 million a year. So that's just average, you know, nothing more than average. And back when free agency started in 1976, take a stab of what? In 1976, what is your guess the average major league salary was?
$145,000.
It's a good guess, but it's wrong. I mean, it's wrong.
Well.
But it's $50,000.
Yeah.
So in 76, when free agency began, it was $50,000. And in today's money, that $50,000 would be worth $206,000.
Hmm.
So you were right in the ballpark.
Yeah.
In theory. So you think back to 76, which is really not all that long ago, they were making $206,000 by today's money, and now they're making $4
million. Yeah, it's a pretty good job.
It is.
Just a little bit.
It is. Because it's over $4 million, so it has increased $4 million since 76 on average.
Yeah.
And that just blows my mind. And the player share has went down. So in 95, they were making around 50%. 2002, it had dipped up a little to 56%.
Hmm.
And Now we're back down to around 38%.
Wow.
That's what the players are getting. So we see the owners paying out these buku sums of money,
mm-hmm.
and they're still the ones that are filthy rich.
Yeah.
So
that's
got anything else on that spreadsheet you might want to share with us?
I mean, I've got a bunch of statistics. That's I really compiled them.
So if you had to pick, which one would you say is the worst deal on that spreadsheet?
That
could be hard.
That's actually putting me on the spot a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if you look at just the numbers I have on here, you know, you're looking Joey Votto. And he was injured that year.
Yes.
He only, you know, participated in 62 games that uh-huh. year. So his numbers were down across the board.
Gotcha.
Other than that, you know,
is Pujols?
He's up there, and that's who I was getting ready to say.
Yeah.
It's hard to say though that's a bad deal because I mean he was tearing it up when he
yes.
left.
Yeah. Well, these long-term contracts, they're getting paid for what they've already done.
Yeah.
So it's like, I'm going to play really good, and then I'm going to get tons of money and not have to be as good, is what it seems like it works out to.
Yeah.
So you're getting paid for what you have done.
I think who's going to get paid is Clayton Kershaw.
Yeah. Yeah.
And yeah, because if he plays out to the end of his contract, he'll be 32,
uh-huh.
which is right among the youngest on this group.
Well, when's his contract up?
Where'd he go? 2020. Okay. I don't foresee him making it that long without an extension of mm-hmm. some sort. Felix, he'll be 32 in 2019 when it's up to. He'll get paid.
Do you think the Dodgers will jump on that one quick since they did lose Greinke? You think they might try to be a little more proactive, or you think they just don't care?
I don't know because I'm a little confused by their tactics at mm-hmm. this point.
Yes.
You know, a few years ago they came out with this big new ownership. Magic Johnson, you know, is the face of the ownership.
Uh-huh.
And they're going to throw money all over the place, and they did, and it
yes.
didn't work out. And now they've geared their front office to this sabermetric-based thing. And, you know, you look at – if you go full-blown sabermetrics, you look at what Oakland's doing just down the road. They're not paying – they didn't – you know, look what they did with Barry Zito.
Yep.
You know, Mark Mulder, you know, Tim Hudson, uh-huh. all those guys – were worth the money, and they didn't pay him because statistically speaking, they could get somebody that was close enough for, you know, a fraction of the salary.
Yes.
So.
Well, it's just like the movie Moneyball.
Exactly.
That's what it was all about.
Great movie.
It was a good movie.
Yeah.
I liked it.
Yeah. So, I mean, we'll have to see when that time comes. He's the best pitcher in baseball, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Well, him or Greinke. I mean, they had probably.
Have you ever seen Greinke smile? Because I don't think I've seen him smile.
So.
He seems angry.
Yeah. I heard an interesting tidbit on him back in the day when he played with the Royals. Like, he had some issues, and he would, like, play games in a game. Like, he's only going to pitch on the left side of the plate tonight.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah.
And like, he still dominated.
He was still good.
Yeah.
Like, the game wasn't enough to keep his attention. Huh. Now he's better now, though, obviously.
Yes.
That's you know, that's about all I've got on the spreadsheet.
It's a nice looking spreadsheet.
Well, I got to have something to do while I'm working.
Yes. it's just crazy to me the money that's in the league, and how much the owners are getting to keep of it. Because you look at the players, like we talked about, they're getting filthy rich, but they're still not the richest ones. So I would suspect that some things are going to turn around and the players are going to want their cut a little more their next time they go around their negotiations and stuff.
Yeah.
So I just hope it don't lead to another strike because we don't need that again.
Certainly not.
Man. So what would you think about if you get on a Twitter account tomorrow and the first thing you read it says – National League has adopted the designated hitter.
Well, I'm not going to be very happy about it.
Really?
I'm not. I guess I'm a little old school in that fact.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mind the DH. Like, I love college baseball. I watch
yes.
college baseball a lot. And I don't mind the fact that they use a DH. But the strategy, there's so much strategy that goes into when you have to have the pitcher in the lineup.
There is.
You know, you know, a lot of people think the Reds are going to do this. Bat the Billy Hamilton ninth and put the pitcher in the eighth spot.
Mm-hmm.
Does it really matter where the pitcher's at? You know, when, you know, also, you got a pitcher that's dominating. and all of a sudden you've got runners on second and third with one out. It's a tie ball game in the seventh inning. What do? You leave him in? Mm-hmm. You know?
Yes,
then,
I get
then
it.
Then it gets two outs. You don't guarantee you get a run, which you don't guarantee you get a run with a pinch hitter, but a lot better opportunity there.
Well, I can tell you that it's a fact that 85% of the time when a pitcher comes to the plate, it results in an out.
That's a pretty overwhelming statistic.
It is. 85%.
Yeah.
So, and like you said, there's so much strategy that plays into the game with having the pitcher coming up at whatever point in the lineup.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, just a little history on the DH. It was adopted in the American League by 73. And they were basically the National League and American League. They're obviously two separate leagues, but they wasn't even under the same umbrella until 2000. That's kind of when they both merged, and then they were under the commission. So now it's basically the same thing. American League and National League are under the same umbrella, but they have the different rule. So I was with you. Not a big fan of the DH,
yep.
But I kind of read stuff and think about it more, and then I am a fan of it. So to say one way or the other right now, I really don't know what I'd go with. I can see goods and bads in both, but I wish both were consistent.
I think it depends on – it's personal preference, I guess you'd say. From strictly an entertainment standpoint, I think the DH is probably better because you're going to see more runs. And it also prolongs some players' careers that can't play in the field anymore, but they can still hit.
Or that could never play in the field, like Poppy.
Yeah, true.
But he hits.
Yeah.
And you know, there's more things into it than we could look at. You know, the teams could argue that it's going to cost me more money to pay a DH to come in here rather than pitch in somebody that I've got on the board.
Yeah.
So, you know, but according to the statistics, it ain't going to hurt ownership to dip in her pocket for a couple more $1 million.
No, not at all.
But I don't know. I could go either way with it. I'm fine. Really, either way. I get it. You know, historically, the American League has produced more runs. It's by a slim margin.
Yeah.
It's less than one run over the years, if you look at it, and you want to dive that deep into it. But they have, year after year, outscored the National League.
Yeah. I don't like when you go to the World Series and you have to you play a one way all year, and then you have to completely throw that out the window. And that goes for either league.
Yeah.
When you go to a National League park, you know, or the American League park.
Yeah.
I would almost be fine with them. You know, whoever has the home field advantage, that's the rules that they set up with.
Uh-huh.
You know, no matter what park they go to.
Yeah. Just pick one.
Yeah.
That's what I say.
Yeah.
And really, I don't care which way they pick.
I don't either. I mean, I'm not going to stop watching baseball if they make the DH, you know, in both leagues.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So, I can go either way.
Yeah.
So, that's fine. So, getting back to what we kind of touched on there, I think, at first, we're going to talk about something else. we hit on it our first podcast.
I was ill-prepared at the time.
He was, very unprepared. And it was Making a Murderer. So I had seen Making a Murderer. The professor had not. So since then, he's done a little homework.
Yes. I almost watched it all in one night.
And that's impressive. That's
10 hours.
That is 10 hours.
Do you think he did it? Spoiler alerts.
Yeah.
If you haven't watched it.
If you haven't watched it, you don't want to listen to what we're going to talk about. So, I think that's a hard question.
It is.
To answer for me just a little bit.
Yeah.
Did he do it? I don't know. I don't think so. But the bigger question to me is, I don't think he did it the way he was put in prison for doing it, if he did do it.
I think that's 100%. I mean,
yeah.
I don't think that anybody can watch that. And even, you know, I know there's some evidence that was left out. There was some DNA they found. Allegedly, they found sweat underneath the hood of her car, his sweat.
Uh-huh.
But I've seen some stuff in the last couple of days. I've been, like, reading on this stuff like crazy.
Uh-huh.
And apparently there's no DNA in sweat. So there's no way to link that to him.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, you know.
I'm going to have to brush up. I hadn't watched it in a while. Yeah. So now that you're caught up and have dove back into it, I just don't think the guy, it's scary to watch, really.
It is.
Because you think this evidence, when you look at the justice system and how it's set up, and I'm sure this ain't the only case out there that's like this, it's just the one we've happened to see. It's scary to know that that could be any one of us, potentially.
Yeah.
With such, I guess, sketchy evidence, in my opinion.
I think the biggest issue, and turns out this is a state law in Wisconsin, you cannot put forth an alternate perpetrator. They couldn't name anyone else as saying that they think they did it. The defense couldn't.
Okay.
That's a state law in Wisconsin.
Hmm.
And when you're talking about a jury, when you can't say to the jury, you can't give them a viable option of somebody else that did it,
yes,
then they're almost left with no choice but to say, this is the only guy that was investigated. This is, there is some evidence, even albeit planted. There's evidence that you could argue wasn't planted.
There's no way those two guys could have cleaned that bedroom up.
No.
If the murder happened in there like they say it did.
I certainly think that the young man, he shouldn't be in prison.
No, that was... I don't know how the public defender they gave him is still practicing law.
I don't either. I mean, he screwed him.
There's so many wrongs in that. I mean, the police interrogated him the way police usually interrogate. They didn't give him an option but to confess to something he didn't do.
Yes.
That's just what they do. They've got a tactic, and that's the tactic they use for that.
Yep.
So, and the kid was obviously mentally challenged in some capacity.
They said on the show he had an IQ of 73, which is very low.
Was he reading at a fourth grade level?
At 16 years old, yes.
He just wanted to go home and watch some wrestling.
Well,
you know?
To me, it really summed it up when he, confessed to tying this woman up, raping her, stabbing her, shooting her, burning her body, and then asked if he was going to be able to go back to school.
Yeah, that
anybody
shows
in their right mind who just confessed to that knows, yes, you're not going anywhere, and he hasn't seen the light of day since then.
Nope. And what's more strange to me is the public defender, he was so bad they released him from the case, but they let him continue to use the information he brought forward.
Exactly, and they won't give this guy a new trial.
That makes no sense to me.
It's appealed to the federal level now.
Mm.
I've heard from various places that they feel that he will get a fair trial or get a new trial because, like the federal judges, they're appointed, for life. They don't care. They don't have to go up for re-election the state judges will. And overturning a case of that magnitude or giving a new trial to a case of that magnitude is the difference between winning or losing in a lot of people's eyes.
Yeah.
So
it's... there's so many things we could talk about on that show that isn't right.
Yeah.
I mean, who would park that car? Maybe they would. I don't know. Who would park that car in your own salvage yard?
Well, you can't argue to me that this guy's so smart that he knows how to clean up blood off of the garage floor and out of the bedroom, but he can't pick up a key that's laying in the middle of his floor.
That wasn't there the first week.
He mysteriously took all of her DNA off of it and put his on it.
Yeah. And they didn't find blood in the garage either, did they?
No.
They found, a shell or a bullet or something?
6 months later.
Yeah. There's so much sketchy evidence and police work going on. It's just scary to know that it went that far. I'm not saying the guy didn't do it, but it didn't go down the way it should, in my opinion.
No. Now, I mentioned this to you earlier. There's an interesting theory about...
Mm-hmm. You mentioned, but you didn't elaborate.
I didn't because I wanted to save it. I wanted your reaction to be genuine. There's a gentleman. His name was Ed Edwards. I don't know if you've ever heard of this or not.
I don't know Ed Edwards.
Okay. First of all, you don't name your kid, if your last name's Edwards, you don't name your kid Ed.
No, but what you do if your last name's Freeman, you name your kid Freddie.
Well, yeah.
Freddie Freeman.
That's an awesome name.
Gosh, that's the best name.
Anyway, back to the point. This guy was a serial killer.
Okay.
His M.O. was framing people. At the time of the Avery murder, He lived 1 hour from Manitowoc County.
Uh-huh. I haven't heard none of this.
Yeah, yeah. So he lived an hour from there. He had murdered people in Wisconsin before. He was convicted of 5 murders. They strongly feel that he convicted more. And he had a flair for the dramatic. You know, he really liked his cases to be high profile. He also liked to make appearances in the courtroom of the people that he framed. And there's a still image from the from the Making a Murderer documentary that shows a gentleman that looks an awfully lot like him.
Really?
Yes. He's also been connected, they feel like. He lived in all these areas during the times of these murders. The Zodiac killings in the 70s or 60s. The JonBenet Ramsey case. There's another one that's slipping my mind right now, but it was a pretty the West Memphis 3. All of them suspicious. You didn't really know who did them, and obviously the Avery case. I thought that's a very interesting.
Did you say he's convicted of 5?
He died in prison. Yeah. Mm. Yeah, he confessed to 5,
okay.
But I guess he kind of led them to believe that there was more.
Okay. When did he die?
2011, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So.
That's interesting.
It is interesting.
So, going back to the shot of him being in the courtroom.
Yeah.
Possibly.
Yeah.
Because that was before this.
Yeah, it was, I mean, obviously it's not like a close-up of him so where you can see exactly him. It's him.
Was he still in prison at the time, though?
I mean, no, he didn't get caught. I think he was incarcerated in like 2009.
Okay.
This happened in 2005.
Okay.
So he was,
I got you.
Yeah,
so okay.
He was literally living an hour away from Steve Avery.
Okay, I got you.
Yeah.
So this guy's done all this stuff, and they eventually caught up to this guy and have pinned him down for these murders like in 2009 after all this stuff is already wrapped up.
Yeah.
And he dies in prison.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm with you.
So, I mean, that's way out in left field, obviously.
Maybe not.
But it's a heck of a movie.
Well, I mean, the whole show was way out there in left field, looking at it, you know, from the prosecuting side.
Yeah.
And, man, you know, I was so, and I shouldn't say this as bad, but I was so happy when that prosecuting attorney got in trouble at the end of the show. I can't stand that guy.
I can't either.
I was so happy he was.
I don't know what it is about him. I don't know. I had a funny feeling about her brother as well. I don't know.
What was his name? Do you remember his name?
Mike?
I can picture the guy in my head, which they all kind of look alike.
It started with an M. Mark, I believe.
But I do know if I do get in trouble, I'm going to call a couple of... I did like the defense attorneys.
I thought they did an excellent job.
I thought they were awesome. They've done a real good job.
Yeah.
So, I don't think Steve Avery could have done much better than what he got.
No.
I don't think anybody could have won that case.
No, not at the circumstances.
No, I mean, because you had the evidence that had been messed with.
Yep.
I mean,
clearly tampered. Scotch tape to tape back that.
Yeah. How can you even use, and they used it, right? I mean, it was like.
Well, they ran that test, the
EPA
test.
I remember, yeah.
Okay, well, on another podcast I listened to, there was a couple of lawyers talking, and one of them mentioned that test had never been used and has not since been used because it's bogus.
Well, they had to get the FBI to do it for them, didn't they? Like, we don't even do this test. We have to make something up for it because we haven't used it in so long.
It's my opinion on that is the FBI got involved, seen what had happened, that they had framed this guy. You know, not that he didn't do it. They had, but, I mean, they was obviously, even if he was guilty, they were trying to frame a guilty man.
Yes.
Okay. They couldn't let that get out.
No.
I mean, then you know, everybody, that gives credence to anybody who said they were set up in the past. Mm-hmm. You know, that, because in society, I don't think we believe that the police, as a whole, I don't think we believe that the police would put us in harm's way and set us up that way.
No, and I don't think most would.
I don't either. No. No way insinuating that.
No.
But I think we have that opinion of all of them, and if that was shattered, then what would that do?
The ripple effect of all that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of like the same thing once you... Most people just assume Steve Avery's guilty because he had been charged with a crime and he's now on trial for it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anybody's in that situation who goes to trial is pretty much assumed guilty because That's just how we are.
Yep.
So
unfortunately.
And I don't know that you, for the most part, can even prove your innocence, can you? Really? Because he couldn't.
No.
I mean, I don't know what you do, more so than what his defense attorney's done for him to prove that you didn't do something.
So you about have to have an ironclad alibi.
Yeah, I don't.
And even at that, the first time he was convicted, they mentioned in the documentary he had, what, 20-some signed affidavits saying that he was accounted for during the time of the attack? But in 1985, I guess it's a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know.
I don't know either. Yeah. But apparently nobody in that community likes the Averys.
Yeah.
So
I think that's an issue.
Yeah. I mean, they were headhunting.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah.
So it's crazy. How can it happen to that guy twice, though, too? It makes me wonder.
Yeah.
Because the first one, obviously, he got off for, so he didn't do it. Correct. I mean, there's sufficient evidence saying that he didn't do it. He got off. And then for him to fall back into this, is it because he got off and made the cops look bad? Because he had the lawsuit and he was going to get rich off of them?
$6 million lawsuit on a county that couldn't afford it.
Yeah. And plus the MLB.
His motive.
Average salary is $4 million.
Yeah.
So he's doing good. He's over MLB pay there.
Yeah.
Steve Avery.
Yeah, $36 million for 1 year.
Yes.
Signed a 1 year deal with Wisconsin County.
State Penitentiary.
Yeah.
Come to find out.
He signed at 18.
I don't think he ever gets out, does he, unless something's overturned? He's in for good. No chance parole. He's done.
I would not be shocked if he doesn't get a new trial, at least.
No, especially with all the publicity that's
coming. He's got a new lawyer.
Yeah.
And apparently she's had another high-profile case where that her client was exonerated.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't be shocked if he doesn't get a new case. Especially with the documentary coming out, you know.
Yes.
I had never heard of this case before this. Now, you know, everybody's talking about it.
And I wonder where that's come from. Netflix, it's obviously on Netflix, but did they just come up with this, or is this part of the new strategy to get Steve Avery out of jail?
I actually listened to another podcast.
I do a lot of podcasting.
I do a lot of podcasting. Of the ladies that made the film.
Mm-hmm.
They were film students in New York. They seen his case on a newspaper, or a headline, and they packed up a car and drove to Wisconsin and started filming.
Really?
And it took them 10 years to accumulate all of the film and all of everything that they needed. And finally, I guess they knew what they had, and Netflix agreed to put it out.
Well, I sure didn't know that.
Yeah.
So I really didn't pay much that much attention to the first of it, because we were just scrolling through Netflix looking for a new show.
That was on a podcast.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, because we were looking for a new show, and I thought, this looks good. It's got good reviews.
Mm-hmm.
I just assumed it to be a TV show.
Yes.
And then it was a documentary, and I immediately was like, do not want to watch this. But then we actually quit watching it. Then we went to... we were watching TV later that night and seen a commercial on our cable TV for the show promoting it. So we thought, well, we'll give it a try. And we got back on it, you know, started the second episode, we were already hooked with it. And then, of course, finished it, and now everybody's talking about it.
Yeah.
So,
oh, yeah. Yeah. You know.
But it's a little scary to think about it and how it worked out. And
mm-hmm.
I hope there's another season. I do.
I had heard that they were going to do one from the prosecution side,
mm-hmm.
that they had enough footage to do that.
Yeah. I don't want to watch that guy anymore.
I can't stand that
guy.
No.
But I hope there is a new evidence that comes out, or he does get a new trial, and I definitely would pay attention to that, because I feel like if that does come about now, we're all going to know when it does.
Oh, yeah.
We ain't going to have to wait 10 years for a documentary to be made.
I don't think so.
No.
No.
So... it'll be on the old Fox News network there, since Trump's not going to the debate. Did you see that?
I heard something about it.
We're not. We won't even go down that road. No need for politics.
No.
Well, it's kind of dry. You know, it's the January of the baseball season. Not a lot going on, so we'll pick up some couple extra topics here and there. Before long, we'll be talking about some spring training baseball.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Hey, did you see Kiki is now the starting second baseman for the Dodgers?
What?
Yes, I read
that. Our man, Kiki.
He is in the starting lineup now. So We're excited for Kiki.
Sabermetrics.
Yes. I wonder what he is. I'll have to look him up on
his war.
Maybe we shouldn't look it up. I don't know.
Maybe not.
Maybe he's one of those players
on Instagram
that's just close enough to the real one.
Yeah, probably.
We love Kiki. So, oh, well, we're going to wrap it up for today's show. We'll be back here in a couple weeks. If you would, go on to our website, rtpbaseball.com. Also, we have a Twitter account. It's at rtpbaseball, Riding the Pine Baseball. Signing off this week, I'm Spidey with my good friend, the professor.
Later.